My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello and welcome back to the Euro Clutch. I'm Ian Hamilton, and how's everyone doing? It's been a rough May. Little over a week old, the British scene lost Dylan Shaw, who had been an integral part of the scene as a fan for many a year. Be it WWE, AEW, even the Indies, he'd be there at the shows. There's not many of us out there, so when we lose one, it stings. Godspeed, Dylan. And I guess there's nowhere else we can start this week other than, well, we're doing this again. NXT Europe is apparently back on the docket. So a couple of weeks back, what started out as WWE has got interest in signing Zazaya, then WWE's after Mike DiVecchio and Igel Blanc, that's quickly ballooned into talk that NXT Europe is back on the map. Of course, it's been nearly 3 years since NXT UK shut the door, with the promise or threat, depending how you look at it, of NXT Europe coming soon. Of course, 2022 turned to 2023 with no news. 2023 became 2024, and save for a few Euros mentioning it on Twitter every now and then, still no mention. Heck, it was looking the same way in 2025, at least after that TKO call when the prospect of NXT Europe came up, and the response was almost like it was an alien concept. Of course, for the last few months we've had those WWE tryouts in Europe, where pretty much every man worth looking at and their dog got a tryout, and a couple of gladiators as well. Now this seems to be actually a thing. I mean, having lived through NXT UK, I was one of the many who saw the effects of the scene firsthand. Starting with, oh, no restrictions, to, well, we're going to pull them from the shows if it clashes with anything we're doing, to, you can't work Rev Pro and What Culture, to, the mess we had now. I mean, heck, can you remember when NXT UK suddenly started running shows head-to-head with their partner promotions? I mean, it's one thing, running an NXT UK takeover back when they thought Royal Quest hadn't sold well. Do your research next time, lads. But NXT UK tapings around the same time as WXW's long-arranged festival weekends. I'm sure there was stuff head-to-head with Progress and ICW as well. So, what is NXT Europe going to be? I mean, of course, right now, all we can do is speculate. NXT Europe, as of now, is a figment in people's imaginations, at least in the wider public. I guess, if you look at that WWE pyramid that floated out a few weeks back, it'll probably be the same level as Evolve. Below what I used to call full-fat NXT, but above the WWE ID, NIL programs. Maybe the same level that AAA will land whenever that gets rebranded, but when you look at the numbers that Evolve is doing on YouTube, that's not a good sign. And I mean, this isn't the full-on, oh, they're killing a scene, because let's be frank, the European scene hasn't really hit the same levels we were, 8 years ago. And, NXT UK, let's relitigate this, wasn't a great success. WWE got the names they ultimately wanted for the main roster. Your Walters, your Gunfers, Bees, Daisy, Pete Dunne, your Tyler Bates, your Ilya Dragunovs. They got signed, they went through the warehouses, they're on the main roster, allegedly. The rest, well, they're creeping onto those release lists. And, I'm not going to go through that all wrestlers should turn down the bag. I mean, this isn't 10 years ago. There is no plausible deniability of what NXT Europe is going to be. second time round, it's pretty clear, especially in this environment, that the promises of WrestleMania moments for people they're signing from Europe are long shots at best. The average WWE pay-per-view card, 5-6 matches. Okay, WrestleMania's a 2-day event. SummerSlam's going to be 2 days, but you're talking about 12 matches, and that's being generous if you're not going to be bumped off for the latest celebrity that wants to try their hand in the ring. So unless you're the guy they're going to pluck from Europe and they have major plans around you from day one, what's to say that you're not going to end up being like an Albert Fire, that you're not going to be like a Butch? You're going to be someone who is there or thereabouts and maybe, just maybe, be a bit part character because, let's be frank, right now WWE don't need extra names. The current product isn't exactly one that is swarming or crying for people to have great matches because WWE in 2025 really isn't about the bell-to-bell. You watch, whether Saturday Night Main Event, all the advert breaks. WWE these days is, as we're saying goes, it's a meme company, it's an entrance company. What happens between the bells? You can have a dog, ling, a turd in the ring, and if it's longer than 5 minutes, you'll probably get that "this is awesome" chant. But I digress. Going on about the European scene not getting back to the way it was, 8-9 years ago. I mean, look, fans walked away 5 years ago during the whole speaking out thing. And granted, there wasn't any shows going on because 5 years ago we were in the midst of a pandemic. But it's no figure of speech. People walked away from the scene, not rightly. People didn't come back when shows came back. And you look as far as the quote unquote trendy promotions, your Rev Pros, your Progresses. Those numbers are not at the heights they used to be. And some promotions, they're looking to spread their wings. Rev Pro running Barcelona a couple of weeks ago. They literally just announced another show in Barcelona. Two shows, the Trios Grand Prix in Barcelona this coming September. They're doing Lyon in France later in the year, Germany as well. Progress, they really, adding a part of WrestleMania stuff, really condensing the shows they do because the interest ain't there, at least compared to the peaks of 2017, 2018. No matter what Cage Match may tell you for the estimated crowds of the electric ballroom these days. But as far as the names on the roster, I mean, talent-wise, it's always going to be a subjective thing. But it's not like the European scene today has got that huge can't-miss prospect that is guaranteed to get signed up. As much as I love Mike DiVecchio, Bell to Bell, one of those guys or one of those names who, if you saw the Champions Carnival, you'd be wondering, the flash is there, but for consistency, it's always good for, I think the comparison I heard was like a Belgian Rob Van Dam, which, take that as a compliment, not as a dig. But, back in the day, you had your Walter, your Pete Dunne, your Tyler Bate. Those were three guys off the top of your head who were considered can't-miss prospects. Today, who are those three names you're going to pull from the scene for your NXT Europe or wherever you land them that is in that spot? You've got Leon Slater, he's under TNA contract. Maybe you pull a cheat and pull him from TNA and be the guy. But out of everybody else, maybe it's me being dim, but I can't really think of three names who are ready and primed to take that spot. Maybe with some, finishing stuff, some finishing, maybe with some, final polish, but yeah, it just doesn't to me feel like, they're hovering on a scene that has got the names ready to pick up. And let's be frank, what happens if WWE does hoof up these names who, need that proverbial finishing skill, that extra seasoning? Well, the obvious one, you're going to have those who will fall for the, hey, no restrictions, just kidding stuff. I mean, we've seen this a little bit with the ID program. Maybe not to the extent of, names being pulled, although that has happened once or twice. But you have seen, those promotions who maybe previously used some guys and then straight away, not so much putting their foot down of, well, we're not going to use you anymore, but we're going to treat you with caution, tread with care, that kind of thing. I mean, based just on, last decade, if NXT Europe comes up, I would pretty much think, Rev Pro would be very much reluctant to even look at some of these names. Again, past experience and what have you. But yeah, you think, you know, some of the names that have been mooted, you know, your Luke Jacobs, your Mike DeVecchio, your Egil Blancs, your Zazias. I mean, there's four names that, you know, up around the top of cards in, you know, Progress, RevPro, WXW. You lose those guys. Oh, granted, there are all his names and training skills to make the step up, but there's a difference between being ready to make the step up and being ready to really make the step up. You know, you've all seen shows where there's been injury withdrawals and someone's come in at the last minute and they've done a job. But then consistently, while guys have been on the shelf, that's another thing. And of course, you know, depending on how deep these proverbial seas get plundered, it's only going to get worse. You know, you lose the top level, you know, your upper main card, or your upper mid card can take the step up, maybe a bit tricky. Your lower mid card, upper mid card, maybe a bit more. The opening match stuff, definitely a bit harder. And heck, if you're starting to pull people from, you know, training schools for quote unquote hidden gems. Well, if everybody's looking for the hidden gems, then one, they're not going to be hidden, but all of a sudden you've got guys who going from working maybe once a month because they're not being booked to now being in demand brings its own set of problems. And I'm not just talking about, hey, they're now being exposed and now they're on WWE's radar as well. And hey, if you want to go even more nihilistic here, you know, it could be a bad thing for a wider scene. I mean, you know, you put guys in roles that they're not suitable for, people will get bored. You know, I hate, you know, calling out names as examples, but look at Will Caven in RevPro. You know, a big knock on him from, you know, certain sections of fans is that, you know, he's maybe not there or not ready as the champion. You know, he's been Cruiserweight champion there for, what, 9 months at this point. And, you know, a lot of people who just come in for the main shows don't think much of him. Again, that's a difference between, you know, being ready and being perceived to be ready by the fans. You know, what the bookers, what the matchmakers want versus what the fans want, two completely different things. And, you know, not to use Will as an example, but, you know, think stuff like that. You're going to probably have guys who they sign with champs. Well, now you can have people who maybe were never on cards all of a sudden pushed into championship positions. And, you know, we've seen even on main roster, WWE and stuff like that, people coming from nowhere to getting shoved down your throat, because we're going to have to be, if Pete, you know, for all the experienced names, all the exposed names go. And again, I'm being extremely pessimistic here, but hey, pessimism is my middle name. Actually, it's not, don't look at my passport. And then you kind of have a knock-on effects. Like, you lose for top stars, you know, some people will stick around for a while, you know, give a new generation a chance, you know, see if they really are all they're cracked up to be. If that cycle keeps going, you will have fans who just throw the towel in. You know, there are fans, believe it or not, who are only there to watch on the independents because, you know, I don't know if you've checked the economy these days, but those WWE tickets are mighty expensive compared them to, like, heck, my RevPro tickets, when I go, you know, if you do go to, say, the 229 shows in London, you're looking at £30 front row. That £30 would barely get you a T-shirt at WWE, let alone entrance to the arena. And, you know, it's the kind of thing where you've got those same fans who will go to shows, they'll support their guys, but the second they get signed, not that they're going to, you know, wish harm or anything worse on people who do sign, but, you know, there's that joke that you sign for WWE, you retire. Because there are fans who are solely focused on the independence of the next generation. Now, you know, right now, you know, NXT Europe, if it's generated, ain't going to be on Netflix. You know, it's probably going to be on a YouTube like Evolve. You know, I think last I checked, that's maybe, you know, stumbling to 60,000 views a week on free YouTube. So not, you know, behind a paywall, behind anything, which I guess speaks volumes of what the appetite is for, you know, anything with a WWE label on these days. But that's another point to go through in the future. But, you know, you lose the top stars from, say, Rev Pros, your Progresses, ICW Progress North, or wherever. Who are you sticking around for? You know, if you lose the faith that your next generation of stars are going to have time to develop, to grow, to become your favourites before they're taken away, people just throw their hands up and walk away, and then what? Well, you know, let's just say people who do that, you know, their money's gone. And let's be frank, you know, we've been through this before, where, you know, years back, you know, during the pandemic, ICW, WXW Progress were all available on the WWE Network. And yeah, people watched those shows, but the second those shows dropped off the network was at 2022 when the deal expired, 2022, 2023. Those people didn't stick around. You didn't have people, you know, in appreciable numbers, at least from what I've seen chatter-wise, moving to, you know, the WXW YouTube page. People weren't signing up in their droves for Demand Progress. If they weren't on the WWE Network or had that WWE seal of approval, you know, those shoulders got shrugged, and that was it. You know? And let's be frank, there are fans who will happily watch the same show if it's got the WWE badge with WWE seal of approval on, but the exact same show in the exact same town without those three letters, there'll always be something better to do. And like we say, you lose those fans, you lose those stars. Well, no, shock horror, independent wrestling is a business that lives very much in the margins. I mean, we're going to talk about this soon with regards to live streaming, but promotions right now are already squeezed. You know, whole inflation, cost of living, whatever, you know, media-friendly term you want to put on it. You know, there is no infinite money glitch. People only have a certain amount of money, whether it's, you know, fans paying to get in or to watch a product, promoters taking the money they get from, you know, ticket sales, from merchandise, from streaming, from whatever. That money ain't going as far as it used to. And it's that delicate game now of, do you raise prices and, you know, maybe, you know, lose some fans but make more money overall, or do you keep them as is and, you know, struggle with what you have now? But, you know, again, let's be nihilistic. You lose the top stars, you lose the fans. Those promotions which are getting squeezed now will get throttled, eventually fading away. Fewer promotions, fewer spots, fewer training skills, and, you know, the rest. It's that extreme? Absolutely. I mean, you know, WWE, at least on the ID program, they are playing nice for now, but no, we've all read those history books. We all lived through the history of NXT UK, where WWE started out playing nice, and when things weren't going their way as quickly as they wanted to be, well, no, time to, you know, that guiding hand in the back became a shove in the back, became, nope, you're only working for us unless we say so. And look, I get it. You sign with WWE, they have first dibs. But right now, you know, especially with the scene we have, I really don't see, you know, people turning down whatever money. And again, the old deals were derisory, relatively speaking. But, you know, if you're the kind who just wants to wrestle, you know, are you going to be sticking around on the scene, or are you going to take the deal where, you know, you're going to get paid to effectively work out, you know, stay at the performance centres and have days off at the Enfield trampoline parks? But look, the winners of this at the end of the day, of course, be those who get signed. Even if they are those derisory NXT level deals, yeah, they're going to win because it's, you know, more money effectively for less work in terms of taking bumps. You know, we're not, it's not like they're going to be on the old 80s WWF house show schedule. The those losing out, be those fans who don't want to watch WWE, those same fans who the second, you know, one of their favourites gets signed, they consider them retired. And look, I get not everyone has the time, the money, or even the will to search out other promotions, but you salt the earth, nothing grows. And at a grassroots level, a fully TKO-backed NXT Europe will do that to the scene. At least until the tide turns on a much wider level. I mean, you know, at this point, WWE is effectively a line item for TKO. And Lord knows, the state of the American economy right now, if the main roster WWE swings the other way, and, you know, we're starting to see some signs of this in terms of ticket sales, if that pendulum swings the other direction, well, you know, that line item marked NXT Europe could very well be the first thing chopped to save a few pennies. And then back to where we were 4 years ago, doing this damn game all over again. Well, that was the third time I'd written notes of this podcast. What I was originally looking to lead off of was a review of North's Let the Cannons Fly show from earlier this month. But a change in strategies led to North hitting the pause button on all live streams. For those who haven't heard of them before, North, well, they've been around since July 2016, 9-year anniversary, just over a month's time, running shows mostly in the city of Newcastle upon Tyne. Now, they're running up to their annual big show called Thunderstruck 3, that's on July 12th in the Walker Dome in Walker, one of the suburbs of Newcastle. The big name advertised of that show so far is Tajiri. Now, at the start of May, there were some rather concerning noises coming out of the North camp. again, some of this through the, I guess, personal Facebook posts, but again, these make way online, so I'm not going to go into too much depth, but, you know, some rather concerning noises about, you know, are you actually going to the show, and let us know, because ticket sales were down. I guess that was kind of an offshoot, because North usually do the whole, we have a show this month, and then next month's show go on sale. I think at the start of the month they had 3 shows on sale. That would be the one we were looking to talk about. A show in Leeds called Project North this coming weekend as I'm recording this. And then the Thunderstruck show in July. So, you know, kind of spreading things a bit on the thin side. A couple of days later, North announced that they were going to be stopping their live streaming model. So very recently they'd started streaming live on Trill, I think. Would it be in March, in fact, they had that show with Manders and Thomas Shire against Rampage Brown and Will Cruz, won the match, but don't remind me, the NCL Cup show. That was live streamed, and I think this would have been the second, the third, or maybe fourth show they would have done. Anyway, it didn't go live. They announced that they weren't going to be live streaming. Basically, the cost of doing so was more than they were getting back in from it. So, back to, you know, doing a show live for the live crowd, with it being recorded and edited on demand, eventually popping up on Triller, if they still exist. There's another tangent we can go down, but not today. And then a couple of days later, it was announced that North promoter Andrew Bowers was cutting ties with Progress, having been working in a creative role there for, I believe, it's about a year or two. Again, Progress thing, that's not what I want to talk about. What I do want to talk about is live streaming, and, you know, is the value really there in it for promotions? You know, like right now, it just feels like every promotion is tripping over themselves in some way to be live. I mean, over in the States, we saw this past weekend with the Action Dean 2 show. You know, people wanted to see it live. End up being released on, I believe it's like a 2-3 day tape delay on YouTube. That's on my to watch list. But over in Europe, it seems to be more and more promotions are going live. You know, RevPro, they've been streaming pretty much everything live now for a year or two at this point. Progress started going live at the back end of last year, and now they're on Triller Live every month. ICW, you know, they started going live when they moved to Triller after the WWE Network deal fell through. WXW, they've been live for a while now. True Grit up in Yorkshire, they've been live for a couple of months. You know, Attack, they've been going live. So, you know, that list just keeps on growing. And, you know, at this point, it's the whole thing of you're being live because everyone else is being live. You know, it's the whole thing of there's so much wrestling out there. And I've made this point before. I'm not going to labour it and do a Brian Alvarez and just, you know, beat the dead horse further into the ground. But what my question is the race to be live more of a negative these days? Like, you know, not everyone is the super ultra hardcore fan who watches, you know, your 2-3 hours of Raw on Monday, your 2 hours of NXT, your 2-3 hours of SmackDown every week, your 2 hours of Dynamite, your 2 hours of Collision, and then whatever indie shows are going on, or whether GCW's got 2-3 shows this weekend, you know, ICW No Holds Bars have got deathmatch shows, you know, Beyond stuff, etc., etc. But when there's that much out there live, you know, and, you know, again, there's not that many services you've got to subscribe to these days. So Netflix in the UK, you get all your WWE. Triller Plus will give, you know, Triller's got Triller Plus, you know, for, you know, your GCW for now, your AEW Plus for your AEW, or, you know, other means. You know, IWTV for your Beyonds, you know, for, you know, ICW, No Holds Barred, etc., etc. You know, there's just so much out there on a weekly basis that I kind of get it from promotions. You know, if you're not live, you're in danger of, you know, falling behind the pack. Like, I can say myself, you know, since I stopped reviewing as much, there's been a lot of shows which, you know, live I would watch, but then I've just gone, oh, I'll watch it later, and I never do. And maybe if there's an element of fear in that regard of, if you're not live, you lose the whole aspect of, you know, you watch it live, you don't watch it all, like the whole thing with back when in the States, and I guess over in Europe as well, the Premier League and all the other sports rights, that sports, they are DVR proof. You know, people have to watch it live because, well, people know the results, and who's going to watch a game that they know the results of? try to tell him out of Sunderland fans after this past weekend. Pretty sure a lot of people are very much still watching those highlights from this past Saturday. But, you know, for independent wrestling, we've already said, very much operating the margins, is going live the best place to go these days? You know, right now, you know, we can go through the economics, you know, the cost of a ticket, very much a lot more than the cost of even a month of just a singular streaming service. So for me, you know, bang for buck, you know, RevPro, they run 2-3 shows a month. 1 month of their RevPro on demand, what, $10 a month, you're looking at what, you know, 2-3 shows, so about $3 a show. Even if you travel to the shows for free, you're not getting in for £3 a show. So in that regard, you are getting value for money. But when you're talking about, you know, these smaller promotions, and I will use North as an example, you know, they run, you know, less frequently than RevPro, shall we say, but, you know, smaller crowds, you know, in terms of, you know, per capita, I'd guess. But, you know, you're now looking at extra cost because you're now bringing in, you know, commentary to be done live. And, you know, they went from, I believe, it was at Tom Campbell, you know, in post-production to now Tom Campbell and Dave Bradshaw, you know, another promotion he was working with. But both those being done live, then you're looking at an extra body to do the live production, the live mixing. You know, then the cost of the internet, you know, and if you, you know, heaven forbid, you've got to pay extra for the venue for the internet. Those are extra costs which, you know, really you need to make sure are adding up and are actually being paid for, because if you aren't getting the extra income in, then what is it all for? To proudly say that you're streaming live with everybody else? And, you know, I've already been down that tangent of, you know, the sheer volume of wrestling. And, you know, right now you've got to think, what is the deal here? Like, do you want to be live for the sake of going live? Or do you go back to the roots? And I'm not saying the old progress, in a way you have John Briley, you know, being pestered into oblivion for how long's the turnout? 5 to 7 days. But those shows all had buzz. People were wanting to see those shows. You know, people saw those shows for this online buzz, and the fans who weren't there were clamouring to watch replays. Nowadays, it's very rare for shows to happen and for people to be, you know, so buzzed and not hearing, you know, chatter and, oh, when do I get a seat? Oh, I wish I'd made it, or I couldn't, that kind of thing. It's like, it seems to be a lost art, and I saw on Twitter the other day, you know, people complaining about, you know, when was the last time you went to a show and really felt shocked? And I'm not talking about, oh, well, I guessed this would be the way this match would go, but when's the last time you went to a show, or even watched a show for the sake of this argument, and left feeling absolutely stunned at something that had happened, that you were glad you were there and saw live, and didn't have to wait for something that you absolutely would have, you know, wanted to wait to see, were this the old day of, you know, 3 to 5 days, 5 to 7 days turnaround online, or heaven forbid, the old model, if you know an old Ring of Honor fan, of waiting for DVDs to get produced and then shipped internationally and what have you. That just seems to be maybe a part of a puzzle which has been lost in independent wrestling these days, where we've all gone so gung-ho into being live that people assume that we're going to be there to watch it live. But, you know, people watching live, there's not the clamour to watch on demand, or the buzz coming out of those live shows for extra people to watch on demand that could then be turned into, hey, this was great watching on demand, I need to be there live. Or, I guess even no better, go, no, watch it live, stream live, and be part of the buzz. Yeah, it's a race, you know, a lot of promotions probably do well to just reassess things. Like, there's so much stuff out there with wrestling. I get it. You know, if you're not live, you're very much running the risk of being on that big watch pile a lot of folks have that never gets watched. You know, you're going to be part of people's binge before the next big show where, oh, I've got these five shows and, oh, well, I didn't hear anything about these, so I'm going to skip it. Or let's see what Cage Match says, or what Dropkick says, since Grapple no longer is a thing, at least in the app world. But it is very much one of those things that, you know, independent wrestling right now could do getting back to square roots, and especially in the face of whatever, you know, big nasty is coming on the scene with NXT Europe. Get back to grassroots. You know, have a product that people want to see. Because right now, with there being so much wrestling that's available live and, heck, for free or as near as free with, you know, with Netflix and other big streaming services, you know, what are you going to do? Get back to creative. You know, if you think that going live is going to be a huge gamble, don't do it. Put your energies into creative stuff where people who go live will spread the word, will be buzzing on the Facebook, on the Twitter, on whatever social media platforms people use these days, and generate word of mouth like we used to, you know, 7, 8, 10 years ago, with fans buzzing, legitimately hyped for the shows they've seen, and not the, dare I say, fake analysis we kind of get these days where everything's awesome. And, you know, I keep saying this, you know, in a kind of a knock, but if everything's awesome, nothing's awesome. And I think we're kind of in that spot now where, you know, we're kind of having the chickens come home to roost in a way where, you know, certain sides have been praising what, let's be frank, compared to 10 years ago, was not the same kind of level of product as it was. And now we are at the spot where, you know, we've all lost sight of what we should be doing. You know, we should be producing products, wrestling should be producing products that people want to see, whether they're having to wait for it, not throwing good money after bad to see, is, you know, get as many people watch it live and hope we actually do, because especially right now, being live just isn't enough of a differentiating factor for people, for promotions. And yeah, I think we're very much to the point now with, like say, the big ugly at the door, refocus, re-energize and just get a handle on what you want to be, what your product is. And if that works, everything else will follow. But like I say, simply being live ain't cutting it. And I guess after that ramble, since North wasn't live, one thing I am going to look at is the recent show from Attack, Sailor V, named after the Bewitched song that Nixon Newell used as a music. Of course, Nixon Newell back on the scene, having been released from WWE, the former Tegan Knox. She had a couple of matches, I believe, in March. Surprise tag partner for the old Bayside High tag team of Mark Andrews against Rain, Leverkusen, House and Bennett. In, I believe it was in Cardiff at the start of March. Then the next night in Bristol, beating Jody Fret. This show, looking at, again, Attack Sailor V, was streamed live on the Attack YouTube channel. They seem to be doing that for the moment. Live, streaming live for free, and then the follow-up show being paywalled. I guess a bit like the MLW model to some extent. This is a debut from the St. Sire's School in Penarth in Wales. And I'm not going to go through move for move for the entire card because, you know, again, this show's come about 2 weeks old at this point. Just a few thoughts. So we opened with the Attack 24/7 title. This is, as the name suggests, a, you know, bit like, you know, very much like the WWE belt where it could be defended and won any time, any place. At the moment, Attack very much has been settling down to having the matches defend, sorry, the title defended in matches, and then maybe some wacky shenanigans come on the end of it. But you know, I guess for a lot of people, this may be the first time in a while they've heard of or even seen Attack. I don't want to make the comparison to Chicago, that's like the lazy hacky thing, but you know, in terms of, you know, wacky characters, you know, the Attack of old was kind of like the British version of Chicago, so I guess I am a hack, hey ho. But we've got Elijah defending the belt against Chip McSwings. Chip McSwings, as the name may suggest, is a wrestling golfer. Not Barry Darsow, but no, he's got, no, got a mask. He's got a couple of lads in his corner, Tommy Vril and Larry Vicardi. I guess Tommy, you know, not big enough yet to have his role in his name. Elijah's been around for the best part of a decade, and I guess outside of, you know, that run in the pandemic era progress, I think, no, really it's been unfortunate not to break through. Like, you know, the guy does have, he does have it in the ring, just for whatever reason, just hasn't worked out from, you know, when the crowds have been there. And that may be a bit for knock, but at the, you know, the top level, so to speak. Match, you know, was fine. You know, had, of course, Tommy and Larry being distractions, you know, being busybodies outside. But larger control of the match. Had Tommy Vril, you know, getting in, you know, jumping in front of a proverbial bullet to save Chips at times. But yeah, a lot of this was, you know, it ended up being a win for Elijah in the end. Errant Golf Club shop, an owned golf club shot from Chip, knocked out Vril, and yeah, it's a roll up from Light from on Chip McSwing's retain. Again, this is fine what it was, you know, pretty much basic. And again, the kind of crowds of attack we're going for, especially with the school show, were, you know, the almost like what I call the foam finger kind of crowd, in where you don't need to know the characters, you know, give them time, they'll get over with you. So it kind of worked from that side, but yeah, if you, you know, if you're very much a veteran of the Brit wrestling scene, maybe that may not be for you. Again, depends on your sensibilities. Next up, we had the Attack Tag Team Championships. Love at First Fight. That's the tandem of Harrison Bennett and Rain Leverkusen defending against Gabriel Fuerza and Alexia Nicole from Canada Now. This was one of my pet peeves when it comes to this kind of level of independent wrestling, where Attack, they've, you know, through, you know, friendships, they've got a lot of connections to the independent scene in Canada. And I get, you know, guys flying, we've seen before, you know, mentioned Jordy Frett, she's been over a fair few times, but I really don't understand the logic, even on the, you know, mega slamish level, like I guess this was going for the crowd at least, of bringing two imports in and then having them in a tag title match where even the most optimistic person in the crowd would be, you know, hard pushed to believe that, oh, you know, maybe these two from Canada who we've never seen before. And let's be frank, no, I doubt a lot of people in that crowd in Penarth were big fans of C4 or the Canadian independent scene. But these two people we've never seen before were going to beat the established champions, or at least the established stars. Unfortunately, because that played out to virtually near silence. I mean, you know, Alexia and Gabrielle did get the crowd into it towards the end. But a lot of this was just, you know, I don't say embarrassing sense, because that'd be, you know, harsh on all four parties here. But yeah, it was just one of those, the crowd took their time to get into it. But because the winner was pretty much a foregone conclusion, it got the expected kind of reaction. So again, unfortunate, I would say, but the kind of thing you're going to get at this level when you do have, you know, imports that the crowd has never seen before and probably won't see it at this configuration in Attack for a while. So the champions are Rain Leverkusen and Harrison Bennett retained. Rain beat Fuerza with an enziguri in just another 12-minute mark. Then the first half main event was the match that a lot of people tuned into this for. Danny Luna against Nixon Newell. First time ever, we had pre-show promos from Nixon basically saying she wants to re-establish herself, show everyone she still has it, and more importantly, for Danny Luna, the new flavour of the month, so to speak, wasn't overtaking her. Now, this, I've seen a lot of mixed takes on that. For me, I thought this was maybe only Danny Luna's weaker matches in recent times. Now, that's not a knock, say this match isn't worth your time. It's just more that Danny Luna's had a lot of really good matches in recent weeks. We did see Nixon do a lot of stuff from the Attack of old. Had a Wild Boar-esque cannonball in the corner was one of the big standouts. Danny Luna's whole thing was she was going for power bombs. But a lot of the time, you know, had Nixon Newell working over the arm. So, you know, that's kind of stopping. But yeah, at the end, we came with Nixon Newell nearly winning it for the Destroyer, going for her shiniest wizard. But Danny Luna caught and turned into the Luna landing. Everything is evil. You'll know it as elsewhere. Just under 12 minutes, which I thought, again, a bit short. But yeah, this to me, being a first half main event, felt weird in placement. And post-match, you found out why. Nixon turned heel, attacking Danny Luna as Danny offered a handshake. And, you know, Nixon Newell hasn't worked heel for a long, old while. And while some may think this is a bit too early, I mean, she's only, you know, literally three matches in on her attack run, at least this go-round, I would have thought there was a bit more juice could have gotten from Nixon back as for one big babyface run before the turn. But we'll see where this goes. But, you know, hey, it's something newsworthy on one of these shows, so, you know, Attack doing a good job of making sure you don't skip, you know, the shows, but it could be very Easter hand wave. Our second half, we started with the Bryant brothers against Subculture. This being the pairing of Xander and Leland Bryant. This one again wasn't as clunky as the Bryant's match in Rev Pro the week before. But again, for me, this just kind of felt fair. Like, you know, 10 minutes or, you know, didn't last too long. But again, this is another one where the crowd maybe didn't know who Xander and Leland were. You know, subculture of the biggest stars, and they've had the TV runs. Have you upset Rin with Xander rolling up Flash Morgan Webster in 10 minutes? But again, the crowd is simply not registering it. James Ellis against Jay Joshua next. Now, James Ellis is a name I've seen for a while, and I don't want to say I've got massive hopes for, because we know how this goes. You know, people get attention, they get hype, they get signed, and we've been through this drill before. But no, James Ellis, you know, pretty good. He's had a few shots in Rev Pro. Surprised they've only kept him on the Southampton shows, but maybe they're waiting for a spot there. But here in attack, Ellis has got the extra life, so I don't want to say it's like their Money in the Bank gimmick, but every year their press start video game themed show, they do a scramble. They get the extra life, which is basically he gets one shot at whatever he wants to do, whether it's making a match for himself, restarting a match, adding himself to a match. That wasn't on the line here, so this was more of like a establishing thing. Jay Joshua has really come into his own since he started getting, you know, extra, you know, high profile work. His recent Rev Pro spec this past weekend against Michael Oak and Sheffield, really worth your time. Early on was Joshua, you know, charging through James Ellis early on, but yeah, a lot of it was just, you know, James Ellis being thrown around. There's the obvious size difference there, and, you know, Jay Joshua, you know, really making a tackling dummy out of Ellis. One of the things that Jay Joshua's picked up through his, brief, I don't know if it's going to come back, tag team with Connor Mills in Rev Pro is a Death Valley drive, a mill shot, like kick on the way down, which, not a finisher, but, you know, one of those effective additions to the moveset. But yeah, you know, it ended up being one of those things where James Ellis, who, you know, for one-up, you'd think, oh, well, he's, you know, going to be bulletproof. Enough away here. Joshua got the win with an absolutely fantastic-looking Fire Thunder driver, you know, the old Rikishi driver, whatever you want to call it. Jay Joshua had floated out for back suplex and just absolutely spiked Ellis with that Fire Thunder driver. If this is still up on the attack for free, hunt out the finish, because that was a thing of beauty. And then on to the main event, Neil O'Brien defending the attack title against Danny Jones. There'd been a bit of back and forth between Jones and the entire Bryant family in recent shows. So you had a jump start with Danny Jones trying to jump start. That didn't work, but he took control pretty early on. And a lot of this was, you know, the relative veteran Jones, trying to take control. But then, you know, a lot of that went the other way when Jones got thrown into the ring post. Danny Jones kept coming back, but at the end of it, we went very thick end of 20 minutes. Nino getting, you know, a few shots in, then, you know, back on the defensive in the end. He managed to slip out of an avalanche pile driver, counted into reverse Rana, and then a tornado DDT out the corner, pretty much out of nowhere, got the win. That kind of surprised me, because this was, not say, 80-20 in favour of Danny Jones until that last bit, but yeah, the business was the post-match. Danny did a post-match attack. Xander and Leland Bryant came out to make the save, chase him for back. And then we got James Ellis out, cashing in that one apart to cash in for a title match. Nino Bryant already down after the post-match attack from Danny Jones. Quick 3-second pin. James Ellis leaves Panath as your new attack champion. And hey, at least that's something that they're, you know, taking off the table pretty early on, you know. When you see these, like the Money in the Bank stuff, where it's, you know, hanging over your heads, it does get to a point where it outstays its welcome. At least here, it was only a couple of months. It's, you know, done a turn, so to speak, for James Ellis. And now you've got, you know, the obvious of, Nino Bryant, you know, going back for the title of it by rights. He should never have lost. But also, at the same time, Nino still has the specter of Danny Jones over him. So we'll see where that lands. Next attack's next show is this coming Sunday, in fact, live at the Loco in Bristol. And then after that, Sunday, July 13th, back at Cates in Cardiff, Rain in July. So a couple of shows, and I guess they'll be the usual, put on YouTube for free and then available on demand behind the paywall afterwards. A couple of quick bits as we wrap this one up. So, XXW crowned a new European champion this past weekend, Mike DiVecchio, who we spoke of at the start of the show. I was stripped of a belt due to injury. Now, he'd won that back in October over World Tag Team Festival weekend. He took a few months off at the end of 2024 to rehab a knee injury. Because he recently worked and completed the Champions Carnival for All Japan. During that, the knee injury flared up, and I guess Mike D told WXW he needed more time off. They responded by stripping him of the belt, and I guess, you know, if and when he comes back, he'll be right back in the title picture, but they didn't really want to have another few months without a European champion, I guess, particularly since it came out today that their shotgun champion, Hector Invictus, he's taking time off to become a father. So all the best there, Hector. As for the European title, well, they crowned a new champion in Hamburg this past Friday night, the fan appreciation night. We end up having Meta Hahn take on a mystery opponent in Marius Alani. And it was Marius Alani winning the match and becoming the first Grand Slam champion in WXW, first man to hold the world, the shotgun, the tag title, and the European title. And yeah, I think when I looked back a while back, there aren't that many names who would really qualify for that. Main one off the top of my head would be Ilya Dragunov, but obviously he's busy elsewhere. So yeah, very interesting that, you know, Marius Alani was the name they brought back pretty from nowhere. No, in terms of WXW's No Man's Land to win the belt. So, yeah, that's a complete swerve, I guess, from what I was expecting. Elsewhere on WXW fan appreciation night, Igel Blanc and Michael Oak, who came up short in their shot at the current tag team champions of Norman Harris and Anil Marik. While an entertaining ECW Rules Plunder match main event had Masato Tanaka return to Germany to defeat Robert Dreisk in a match which went all over Mark Toll. Again, WXW fan entertaining show streaming live on WXW's YouTube and on Triller TV Plus. I think the post-produced versions went up on WXWnow.de about a day or two ago. So if you have either of those, you'll be able to watch the full polished up versions now. Sticking with WXW for a little bit, some names for the upcoming Pro Wrestling Grand Prix. The Greedy Souls, Brendan White and Danny Jones, they've been added to the World Tag Team Tournament portion of that. Whereas the Koenig to Catch Around Robin Tournament part of the weekend has its first name in Francesco Akira. Heading up to Scotland now for a few bits. ICW are looking to leave their Asylum Training Centre in Glasgow next month. They've got a couple of shows there in June for their farewell, and they're going to be running more out of a garage venue coming up after that. They had relocated the shows away from the garage to the Asylum during the pandemic for closed set episodes of Fight Club. And while, you know, when the pandemic eased up, they did run in front of places like the Barrowlands and SWG3, they had continued to run their run-of-the-mill monthly shows at the Asylum in front of a crowd of about 100. They did run the garage a couple of weeks back for a show called Rerun This Town, featuring Shah Samuels winning a Socky Hall scramble match to win the ZOG Championship. Think the same kind of thing where we had, you know, Brian Kendrick as the current WWE champion, that kind of thing, you know, time limited, last man to have a pin before time runs out wins the belt. We also had Big Damon Axel Tischer debut as Sanity to win the ICW tag titles from Arcade Violence, while Lana Austin retained women's title against Rio in the main event. Upcoming couple of shows next weekend, so Friday, June 6th, Suri, the IWGP women's title holder, will be defending against Alex Windsor at Eve. That's on June 6th at the Big Penny Social in Walthamstow. Also, I'm not sure we've got the debut of, Marigold's Bozilla. She'll be in an 8-woman tag as Bozilla, Alexis Falcon, Lucy Sky, and Millie McKenzie take on Sky Smithson, Session Moff Martina, Rain Leverkusen, and the new EVE champion, Nightshade. RevPro have got a couple of shows coming up in June. The British J Cup on June 14th in Stevenage. That's a one-night junior tournament, so four singles matches and a four-way elimination final. The winner will be getting a shot at the undisputed British Cruiserweight Champion. They have previously announced that the winner's going to get that shot over the 13th anniversary weekend at Crystal Palace in August. Now, I'll say they have announced because some news came out today which may throw things up in the hoop, but we'll see in a second. So announced so far for the tournament portion, we have got Adam Priest and Chris Ridgway. He qualified as, I guess, a consolation prize. He lost to Leon Cage in Sheffield this past Sunday. Now, Leon was meant to have gotten a shot at the Cruiserweight Champion Will Caven at the Revolution Rumble. We'll talk about that in a second. But Leon announced earlier this morning that he had a pretty severe injury. It looked like a broken leg or broken fibula. So he's going to be on the shelf for a while. So that portion definitely not happening at Revolution Rumble. So we'll see if RevPro rejig, maybe, you know, get another name, is an import for Anniversary Show, and the Revolution Rumble title shot goes to the British Stray Cup winner. We'll find out. Another spot in the British Stray Cup will be going to either Leland Bryant, Xander Bryant, or Nino Bryant. Those will have a three-way match at the 2-9 show this coming Sunday for one spot in the tournament. They've also teased Lizzie Evo against Serena Deeb for the British Stray Cup, obviously a non-tournament match. Then a week later, June the 22nd, Your Call in London, the Revolution Rumble, headlined with the eponymous 30-person Rumble match. We also have Michael Oku defending the RevPro Undisputed British Heavyweight title against the winner of the number one contenders tournament, TK Cooper. Will Caven currently slated to defend the Cruiserweight title against who knows. No DQ tag title defense for the Young Guns. Ethan Allen and Luke Jacobs taking on CPF, likely be Danny Black and Joe Lando. And elsewhere in Europe, also on June 14th, WXW Oberhausen for Drive of Champions. That has got Leah Bloom challenging Manders for the WXW Unified World Wrestling title in a Texas Death Match. We also have Uhura against Leon Slater, Zazaya challenging Marius Alani for the European title, and Ricky Marvin making a rare trip to Germany. He'll be taking on Igel Blanc. And as we push the 50-minute mark, I guess that's going to do it for another episode. At the top of the show, I did say, you know, it had been a rough few weeks, obviously, with the loss of Dylan Shaw a couple of weeks back. On a personal note, you know, for those of you who do follow me on my social media, you know that I have had a loss of my own recently. My father passed away this past Friday. I'm not one for eulogies, but anyone who has been through the unfortunate experience of losing parents, you know, father, mother, unfortunately, have been through both now. It sucks. It absolutely sucks. You know, even if your parents do live to a decent age, it brings a lot of stuff into focus. You know, it's the kind of thing where, you know, naturally you go through, you know, childhood memories and you think of, you know, all the little bits and pieces, you know, daft stories, daft anecdotes. And obviously, it's been a wrestling podcast, and one of the things that came, you know, flooding back to me was the early 90s. We were very fortunate back then to have Sky Television. It was back in the day when your Skybox, you had to program in all the individual channels. So not like today where you just have, you know, three-digit numbers and boof, you're on, on Sky Sports, you're on TNT or what have you. You, back in the day, had to get, you know, a magazine. This pre-internet, so these weren't even a thing. You had to get a magazine which listed all of the frequencies, so to tune your satellite box, you know, different, whatever frequency, and whether it's, you know, horizontal or vertical polarity. If you know, you know. And it meant that, you know, while you were able to see, you know, your Sky Ones, your Sky Movies, your Sky Sports of the world, back then you also were able to pick up a lot of foreign channels. And over here, what's relevant to this is DSF, Deutsche Sportfern, channel I tuned into to see WCW. Of course, back then, schedules weren't exactly locked in, so, you know, it'd be a lot of channel flipping at night and hoping that WCW popped up. Get your mind out of it before you go down there, please. Yeah, I mean, back in the early 90s, of course, you know, SummerSlam 92, London, England, Wembley Stadium, you know, wrestling was a real big thing over here then. And yeah, the fad died down a bit and then sprung back into life, you know, when the Attitude Era got hot. But I kept watching, and even though, you know, I was having to fiddle around with the Sky satellite box to find the foreign channels, to, you know, watch, you know, the random German stuff and, you know, try and decipher language every time I didn't understand to get my wrestling fix, my dad was never one to, like, you know, get that crap off. You know, I mean, he never swore, you know, get that rubbish off, you know, get, you know, shouldn't be watching something no good, you know, what you're doing watching that rubbish. You know, he was a patient man. He was someone who, you know, I say, put up with this hobby of mine. You know, whether it was, you know, trying to find a way to, I guess the Americans say, MacGyver a way to, you know, watch Sky on a second television so that they could watch something else and I wasn't hogging the TV every Friday night when Raw was on. It, you know, whether it's that, whether it was, you know, give me lifts to Newcastle, the old Telewest Arena when WWE was in town. Heck, my first wrestling show was a all-star show in Sunderland, the old Empire Theatre again, where I lived. Buses weren't, still aren't really that big a thing. And, you know, as, you know, a 15, 16-year-old, you know, I needed lifts to these shows. And rather than, oh, no, sorry, son, I've had a long day. And no, those who know me know, and I've spoken about my dad, he worked stupidly long hours, used to run the village post office back in the day. He gave a lot, and now I can sense my voice breaking, so I will wrap this up. It's been a tough week, still hasn't hit me, and no, I'm pretty sure it will hit me like a ton of bricks very soon, but I'm going to miss you, Dad. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back in a short while, but make sure you take care of yourselves and your loved ones, and no, if you kind of don't take photos, make sure you do, because the time will come and you're going to regret every single one you didn't take. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you guys soon.
Hi, I'm Andrew Rich. And if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now, you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.